The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And without one of us, we're not We the People anymore. We're just schleps trying to solve a two-hour crisis on the radio. So we have all three of us in here today. So things are...
Takes three to...
Things are cooking with
to
Crisco.
To make a community.
I guess you can't really say cooking with Crisco anymore because isn't Crisco banned or something?
Well, it's very bad for you now. Yeah. That has to be
olive oil. That makes me old, too.
It has to be virgin olive oil now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, that leads us directly into our topic. We're going to talk about virgins. We're discussing with Peter Friedman all about Islam and what actually isn't real and what we're being told and how we're getting walked into the net, actually.
Peter, I know we want to talk about Obama's background and his education. Before we go there, though, just to kind of stay with what you were talking about earlier, one of the arguments that I've gotten about the Quran is it's no different than the New and Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament being fire and brimstone, and we've softened it all up now, so it's okay.
Peter's head just exploded.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I had to bring that up.
As Glenn Beck says, I got blood coming out of my eyes now.
Sorry about that.
This is all part of the propaganda, okay? What Muhammad attempted to do was he attempted to try to show the Jewish community in Mecca back in 600 that Islam was the third in the trilogy of the Abrahamic faith. In other words, it started out with the Old Testament and Judaism, then the New Testament and Jesus. And now, because the Jews and the Christians had corrupted their scriptures, God now got pissed off and said, okay, I'm going to give you guys, mankind, one last opportunity to get it right. And this time, we're going to try the Muslims. We're going to try the pagan Arabs, okay, at the time, because there were no Muslims. So this is propaganda, okay? Mm-hmm. This is trying to extrapolate out the fact that Isaac, all right, had two sons, right? Jacob and Ishmael. Abraham. I get so wrapped up in the Quran, sometimes I forget my new Old Testament. So Abraham had two sons. If you read the Old Testament and you read this in Genesis, and Abraham essentially was 100 years old. Sarah at the time was 90 some odd years old. And God spoke to Abraham saying that you're going to be the father of a great nation, et cetera, et cetera. Sarah will give birth. Sarah laughed. Her name originally was Sarai, S-A-R-I, and because she laughed and God said, you will be a princess among mankind, the name was changed to Sarah, which means princess. And Abraham used to be called Abram. And then he became Abraham. Okay, so Abraham slept with Hagar, Sarah's servant, and they wound up having Ishmael. Now, what's interesting is that the Muslims essentially on one side say that Jews and Muslims are first cousins or stepbrothers because they came from the same father, meaning Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac, all right? The second piece of propaganda is when you get into the story of Mecca and you get into the Kaaba, which houses the meteorite that is sitting in there, the holy black stone that supposedly Allah threw down to the earth as a sign. You have that stone sitting in the Kaaba, and when you make the Hajj or the pilgrimage once in your life, everybody walks seven times around the Kaaba, and that Kaaba, in theory, what they say, was built by Abraham and Ishmael when Abraham and Ishmael and Hagar were relocated, essentially, from Palestine down to Mecca, and then Abraham went back to live with Sarah and then had Isaac. Well, Abraham, in fact, never set foot on the Arabian Peninsula. Never happened, okay? So that's as baloney as the ascension of Muhammad from the Well of the Souls and the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, you know, up to sit at the right hand of Allah, which was something he related in a dream. So, I mean, you know, you really got to look with some criticality at some of this stuff. And what happens, of course, is that in Islam, if you question anything or you ask questions, we have to kill you because we don't want that to spread.
Right.
And that's why this is what happens with that.
Just the fact that you're questioning that is enough to have your head lopped off.
Well, the very first book, which is the shortest book in the Quran, is chapter 1, and it says this is the Holy Quran. Because it's the Quran, it's the word of God, and because it's the word of God, everything is true.
Well,
so what happens? Pardon?
That pretty much settles it right there.
Huh? You know. There you go.
Yeah.
So when I encounter a Muslim, all right, and we get into some kind of a conversation, I can't call it a dialogue because that's not where they're coming from. They're trying to convert me, and I say, well, let me ask you a question. First question, I said, do you believe that every word literally in the Quran comes directly from Allah? Now, they must answer yes. The minute they answer yes, you know what you're dealing with.
Yep.
You absolutely know what you're dealing with. Because now when you go to some of these other chapters and verses that I read earlier in this program, you know, where it says, hey, you know, it's a religious obligation on the part of Muslims to offer you, you know, a choice, either convert or die. If you're a Jew or a Christian, of course, you get door number two, which says that you get to pay extortion to be allowed to live under Islamic rule, you know, as long as you keep contributing. You know, no longer does Guido show up at your place of business on Friday. Now it's Ahmed.
God.
You know, pick up the envelope with the cash in it, and we're going to leave you alone. We're going to grant you protection.
So what goes on with our political people who are, I don't know, covering for this or making this possible, bringing all these people into the White House and into this administration and all that, and trying to convince everybody that it's not a threat.
Very simple.
What are they getting out of
it? Very simple. Follow the money.
Okay.
Follow the money. Look at the campaign contributions that have been given to Chris Christie. The second largest mosque in the United States is in Passaic, New Jersey. Chris Christie thinks that people like me are just a bunch of crazies. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. The man has never in his life read the Quran or the Hadith. He has no clue, but he wants the money. He has put members of the Executive Committee of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation, on the Superior Court in New Jersey. Make no mistake. Rick Perry took $20 million from the Aga Khan when Rick Perry was governor of Texas to create an Islamic studies program in the Texas public schools. Carly Fiorina made a speech right after 9/11, and she reiterated that speech about 9 months ago as a candidate for president, stating that if it were not for Islam, we would not have a computer industry. These people are panderers. They are, I hope they're just ignorant. I really hope they're just ignorant. And then you can imagine where Hillary Clinton is coming from and Tim Kaine now with his Islamist connections when they say they want to bring 65,000 supposed Syrian refugees who cannot be vetted into the country in her first year as president. Now, you've also got Jim Comey, you've got General Flynn from the DNI, you've got all of these people who have come out and said, look, we've got to tell you this up front, that we estimate that at least 2% of everybody we can't vet coming in here is going to be a radical Muslim. Well, do the math, 65,000, that's 1,300 terrorists. Minimum.
Yeah, 2% is a really big number.
Talk to us a little bit more about Tim Kaine. What's his connections?
Well, the other problem is it's not just the Democrats.
True.
It's also the Republicans. People like, again, like Carly Fiorina, like Rick Perry.
Well, in most cases, none of them can say no to the money. That's the problem.
That's the problem. That is the problem. And what I hope is that the FBI is continuing to take a look into the Clinton Foundation, because when you take a look at the amount of money that has been deposited into that foundation from Saudi Arabia, from Kuwait, from Oman, from the Emirates, from Algeria, from Tunisia, you don't spend that kind of money unless you expect to get something back. And this was all being done while she was Secretary of State. And right afterwards, they would deposit money, and by God, as Secretary of State, all of a sudden she would go ahead through the State Department and okay the shipment of arms deals. This is what happened with Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood over there. It is an unholy alliance between these people. And if you read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, his 11 rules, and the whole mantra, which was taught, by the way, by Barack Obama in Chicago as a community organizer, and October 28, 1968, Hillary Clinton did her senior thesis at Wellesley College on the Alinsky Method. Look it up. For God's sake, read this. She interviewed him personally in Chicago on two separate occasions, October 28, 1968. He sent a letter to her, and you can pull that up on the internet or you can email me, I'll send it to you, inviting her to become an instructor in Chicago at his newly founded Industrial Areas Foundation to teach the Alinsky Method. Let me take it a step further. Let's bring it up to date. You remember when Bill Clinton just happened to fly into Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix weeks ago? And doggone if he didn't find Loretta Lynch's airplane sitting there on the tarmac.
It was that
was a lucky break
what
there.
What a bunch of crap. Unbelievable. What a bunch of garbage. And we ate that up. We gave them the benefit of the doubt because of America's disbelief syndrome. We do not want to believe that people that we voted for would lie to us and jeopardize our security. We don't want to believe that.
I think that's starting to turn a little bit, though. I certainly hope so.
Oh, God, I hope so. Otherwise, we're done.
Oh, I know it.
Yep.
I mean, this is it. This is it. We are done. And if Hillary Clinton gets in and spends the next 4 years doing everything that Obama was doing and even more through this unholy alliance to tear the fabric down so that they can rebuild it and have a one-party governing system in this country will never look like the country we grew up in. You know, it won't. I mean, I'm 71, and I can tell you right now that what I have seen in the last 50 years is really scary. It's the death by a thousand cuts.
Well, just what's happened in the last 8 years has completely turned our political arena upside down, and I think that's why people are so fed up, and it's undoubtedly the reason Donald Trump is running away with this. People are fed up with the lies and the deceit, and they're not buying it anymore.
Well, I think everybody knows how unstable all of this has become, too. I mean, people didn't. There were a lot of people who said that we were all crazy, you know, back in, you know, 2009, starting the Tea Parties and stuff.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah, we were all
a bunch of kooks.
We were all a bunch of kooks, and we were just, you know, racist haters and all sorts of stuff. It's like, well, you know, now I'm thinking maybe. All right, we need to take a really, really quick break here, or we'll be doing them all at the end, like last hour. We'll see if we can keep us on track a little bit. We are here with Peter Friedman. We were talking about Islam and how, you know, we just, you got to read. You really do. You got to read. If you don't want to believe him, do the reading. It's all on there. Islamthreat.com is his website. You can find all the links to articles and things like that on ours, wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be right back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Lies, lies, you're telling me that you'll be true. Lies, lies, that's all I ever get from you. Tears, tears, I shed a million tears for you. Tears, tears, and now you're loving someone new. Someday I'm gonna be happy, but I don't know who just now. Lies, lies, breaking my heart.
It all comes back to the lies, doesn't it? So we're here with Peter Friedman. We're talking about Islam. His website is islamthreat.com, and you've got a ton of really good information there. All right, Peter, where to now?
Yep, let me just bring Donald Trump up for a minute.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. God, I hope there is somebody listening to this broadcast that has access to the Trump campaign and maybe to the Donald directly. I was watching yesterday, and he was again commenting about how the system is rigged. He mentioned Bernie Sanders, how the Democrat system is rigged with the superdelegates. Here's an idea. If Trump would come out, in my opinion, and he would make an appeal to the Sanders voters stating that if they vote for Hillary, nothing will change with the Democrats. It will remain rigged. The superdelegate system will stay in effect. However, Trump has said, I am going to change this rigged system to make it fair. Now, in fact, if the Democrats didn't have the superdelegate system, Bernie Sanders might have won. So if I were Donald Trump, from a political standpoint, I would make an appeal to the Sanders voters saying, hey, you want the system to get unrigged? Vote for me. Just an idea.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Sure. And you know anything about, you know, ties on his end to any of this stuff? I mean, obviously we know where Hillary is. Now we know Tim Kaine's deep into the, you know, Muslim deal.
What fascinates me is that Americans have never underestimate the ignorance of the average voter to do research. It fascinates the hell out of me. For example, if you take Hillary, who has never created a job that wasn't paid for by the taxpayer to benefit her, and you take Donald Trump from the private sector, who has a lifetime of major accomplishments, who said, I am going to build this, and then built it, and who has employed hundreds of thousands of people in his adult career along the way, and you hold these two people up, the clarity is mind-boggling. Here is a guy with lifelong accomplishments in the private sector of creating jobs. One of the things that has always fascinated me, and I've put into every one of my presentations, is that the administration of Obama has had the lowest business experience of any administration in the history of the United States at 8%.
Well, that's totally reflected in the policies that he's enacted over the last 8 years.
Well, of course.
I mean, it's
and the highest, believe it or not, the highest was Dwight Eisenhower. The second highest was Ronald Reagan. And now you take a look at the recoveries after recessions. When there has been a Republican president, look what Reagan did. I was one of Reagan's two pilots when he ran for president in 1980. I was flying him up and down the state of California while he was giving speeches. And you look at what occurred in October, November of 1979, or 1980, pardon me, and you had the hostage crisis. You had the prime rate that was close to 19%. You had the mortgage rate of 16 to 18%. We were humiliated around the world with Jimmy Carter. The man never met a terrorist he didn't like. It was unbelievable because I was going back and forth to Europe all the time, to France and Paris and London, participating in manuscript auctions all the time. And people were laughing at us, and they would look at me and they would call you American, and they would go, ha, 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 ha. You know, Jimmy Carter, good grief. Reagan comes in. You don't screw with Ronald Reagan. And the juxtaposition of circumstances between Carter leaving and Reagan coming in from outside the United States was like night and day. It was amazing.
Well, I think
it
you're going to
absolutely.
You're going to see the same thing. I mean, if Trump comes in, I think, in fact, I think right now there's foreigners that are foreign countries that are terrified of Trump. I mean, he has the opportunity. We were talking about this the other day. He's got the opportunity of becoming even greater than Reagan. I mean, the mess that he's going to inherit and the things
yeah,
that
the
he
potential
can do,
for turnaround.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he can turn some stuff around and really, I mean, walk away a hero at this point.
And he's done it.
Oh, he has done it. And he has
done it. And he's done it.
He knows how to do it.
And he will bring the people around him that know how to do it. He's got people in there like Stephen Moore. He's got people like Carl Icahn, Steve Forbes, Art Laffer. These are all people who know how to do the job. They're all contributors, you know, on the news and everything else. And it's like everything they say is it falls on deaf ears, especially on the other side.
So,
but the Democrats, I was very interested in watching the program with Harris Faulkner yesterday about the left turn. I don't know whether you saw it on Fox. But the left turn of Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. I have been telling people this since George McGovern ran against Nixon in 1968. George McGovern turned into a bloody communist. He was consorting in Cuba with Fidel Castro. Look at Google. Put in Castro and George McGovern. Here are pictures of the two of them riding around Cuba in a Jeep, smiling, laughing, having a great time.
I think
that's when they turned.
I think his disdain for Trump is really tarnishing his record. He is some of the stuff he's coming up with is out in left field. Getting back with George Will.
Oh, George Will. No, I'm talking about George McGovern.
No, oh, McGovern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, George Will.
Bill's
George
time
Will
traveling.
And Jesus, you can put George Will in the same tent as John Kasich and Ted Cruz, and you're killing the party. You're
oh, he
killing
is. He totally
the opportunity.
Is. So tell me this, as far as the Muslim threat, is there any ties? I'm sure that Trump has done business with foreign nationals, but is there anything in the closet you think is going to come up with Trump that is going to hurt him between now and November as far as the Muslim influence?
Well, you know the kind of research, obviously, that I do, and I haven't been able to find anything.
And I'm pretty sure Pence has nothing. He's a pretty very straight arrow.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, no, Pence is, yeah. But Kane, you know, I mean, all you got to look at is the biography of this guy, and you see where he's been. You can see the influences that he had in his life, you know, and you can't discount those things. You cannot discount his connection and the promotion of identified Islamists in the local government in Virginia. It's like Chris Christie, I'm sorry, in New Jersey, but that's just how it is. And it involves money.
Yeah. Well, I think it's all coming back to that. I think when you start down that road and you start taking money from less than honorable sources, eventually it's going to come back to you. And I think this year you're going to see that. And I think a lot of people in the administration are probably going to start floating resumes come November. Because I think there's going to be
a big
swamp.
Trump has got a big, big job ahead of him because he's got to literally clean the rats out of the corners of the room.
Oh.
He's got to turn on the lights. He's got to upset the bureaucracy. He's got to get rid of middle management people like Lois Lerner. He's got to get rid of Koskinen at the IRS. He's got to get all the Muslim Brotherhood representatives out of the West Wing of the White House.
See, and those are all pretty obvious. I mean, those folks have pretty much made it clear where they stand. I think he'll have no problem replacing them. It's the ones that, like you say, the middle management that he's going to have
that have crept
a
in.
Big job replacing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, as Jesse Ventura said in the movie The Predator, they're dug in like Alabama ticks.
Boy, they are, too. We've just opened the door and let them in.
Oh. Boy, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, they don't have to do anything violently over here because we're inviting them in.
Sure.
And they're sitting over there laughing like hell at us. Well, I mean, it's
amazing to me and shocking at the same time that we have allowed all these high-level positions to be filled with Muslims. And
not just, I mean, it's not just that it, you know, happens to be their religion. I mean, these guys are,
see,
you know,
I have a hard time calling it a religion.
I know, but they're Hamas guys. I mean, these are bad guys. And,
oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, they're
oh,
not.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, the deputy mayor of Los Angeles under Villaraigosa, who was a member of CARE down in Southern California, he wound up under Janet Napolitano going on the advisory board to Homeland Security.
Right.
I mean, this is insanity. It is suicidal insanity.
Yep. And you know, it gets back to the philosophy that they play the long game and they just quietly creep in. And before you know it, they don't have to fire a shot.
You know what the Muslim Brotherhood people have always said out of Al-Azhar University in Cairo?
Tell me.
The West may have the watches, but we have the time.
Classic.
Yeah. And that's sad but true.
That is totally true.
True.
All right, we need to take one really quick break, and we'll come right back. We're chatting with Peter Friedman. We could do this all day. You know,
I'm here.
I know. It's crazy. We could just talk about this forever because there's a lot of it. His website is islamthreat.com. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. That's a big yes right there. They would lie to us. All right, Peter. So we're watching what's going on in Europe. Obviously, they you know didn't stop their infiltration, I guess, and they're paying for it.
Well, they opened their arms and just let how many thousands and thousands of unscreened refugees come into Europe.
And let's be multicultural about it.
Yeah, and how long did it take before that came back and bit them? And now they're trying to reverse it. It's too late.
Let me give you a great quote to chew on for the rest of the program.
Hopefully it's not by George Will or Bill's head will explode.
I don't know whether you've ever heard of Colonel David Grossman. If not, go read his book. He was a Army Ranger for 20 years. He has been retired for about 17, 18 years. He trains law enforcement departments and everything. Anyway, he wrote two books. One's called On Combat. The other one's called On Killing. And he made a very interesting statement that will explain to people how people become radicalized and why they do what they do. And what's interesting is we haven't gotten any of them alive yet. And he writes, quote, "The enemy who fights to a noble death validates and affirms the killer's belief in his own nobility and the glory of his cause."
So true.
And if you And if you think about that for a minute, and you think about Orlando, and you think about Dallas, and you think any one of these, the guy in Nice, it just, that's the explanation. The enemy who fights to a noble death, in other words, he has read the Quran, he understands the religious obligations under Islam, if you're going to be a devout Islam for the faith, it validates and affirms the killer's belief in, number one, his own nobility, because the Quran says you will be noble if you do this, all right, and you will get immediately into paradise as a, you know, as a mujahideen, and the glory of his cause. So what is the cause? I mean, this says it all right there in that one statement.
When they convince themselves that what's in the Quran is true, and dying for that cause is noble, you're not going to stop them.
They become noble as a result.
That's right.
And there's no reasoning on that.
Prevent that is to keep them the heck out, because once they're here, it's going to happen. I don't care how much security and how many laws we pass, they're coming. And once they're here, we have a problem.
Do you follow Sebastian Gorka?
Negative.
On TV, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He is he's right in the front of this thing. He has written a new book. He teaches at the military, what is it, the Military Defense Institute. I mean, the guy is right on the cutting edge of this. And Gorka, in fact, predicted Dallas after Orlando, and he said, here's what's going to happen, because they're related. You cannot separate the Islamist movement in America from the Black Lives Matter movement, and both of them are being funded in part by George Soros. If you do the research, you can connect the dots, and it is just amazing to see. Here, I'll give you a very interesting connect the dots. You remember Tim Geithner?
Oh, yeah.
Tim Geithner was the first Secretary of the Treasury under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Geithner's father, who is still alive at 87, 88 years old, I guess now, is Peter Franz Geithner, who was one of the directors of the Ford Foundation. Peter Franz Geithner was the man who was in charge of supervising the grant that was given to Obama's mother to study anthropology in Indonesia. Everything is 6 degrees of separation. Sometimes it's not even 6 degrees.
Yeah, they're just so tightly knit. I mean,
they're in here like an Alabama tick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the political incest is mind-boggling, because everybody covers for everybody else. I mean, Loretta Lynch is nothing more than Eric Holder in a skirt.
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty clear on that.
Unbelievable. Well, and then I'd love to spend an hour with Rudy Giuliani, you know, who came out and said what a terrific person she was and fair, and he worked with her, you know, before she was, you know, right after she was nominated, before she was confirmed. And I wonder if Rudy would say the same thing today.
No, I think a lot of them have come around. I mean, after that decision to not prosecute came out, I think a lot of them turned around and said, I think they realized, who they were dealing with. I hope.
For the last 25 years of my adult life, I've had to deal with the Clintons. And it's mind-boggling. It just is absolutely mind-boggling. And the problem is the kids that were born 20 years ago who now can vote are really not familiar with the Clinton crime syndicate.
No.
And the trail of dead bodies behind them. They're not familiar with Hillary Clinton defending the Black Panthers in the summer of 1971 here out in California, working for Robert Truhaft and Doris Walker, who were the heads of the California Communist Party.
Wow.
You know, what? They're not familiar with the fact that she was on the, in 1974, she was on the Democratic side going after Richard Nixon on the Watergate committee as an attorney, a junior lawyer, and the head of the Watergate attorneys fired her for lying and forging documents. I mean, you know, this is craziness. People don't change.
No.
Well, I think with this administration, they've managed to take lying to a whole new level and almost made it okay. You know, it's our job.
It's beyond pathological.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's now our job to decide what we want to believe and what we don't want to believe. But I don't know. I think any time he opens his mouth, you have to assume it's a lie.
Especially if his lips are moving.
Yeah. But, you know, the things that he's done in the last 8 years, I mean, if you just go back to, the Reagan administration, just go back that far, you couldn't have got away with a tenth of what he's done and
not
been booted out of office. And now it's so commonplace. And I think Bill Clinton had a lot to do with that, with some of the shenanigans he pulled in the White House. It just made it okay to be deceitful until you get caught and then, just have some legal jargon and get out of it and move on and nobody cares.
At this point, what difference does it make?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I mean.
Somebody had to say it.
It's so frustrating to have that level of deceit from our highest level of government. I mean, that's why people are just done with it.
The average American cannot suspend their disbelief. That comes directly from the movie Basic Instinct, if you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine that some things are capable of happening in order to connect the dots. If you just totally ignore that or try to refute that because you're in denial, then you get exactly what you deserve. I have always told people, don't get upset with the elected official. Get upset with the people who elected them, because that official is a direct mirror image of the people who put them there.
Yeah, the best example I think is Nancy Pelosi. She wins with 80% or something.
Yeah, and they still vote for her. We watched a movie last night. One of the quotes in there was, "Truth is like poetry, and most people hate poetry." And
there you go.
And isn't that the truth?
It's the truth.
People don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear it.
No. It's like the doctor, okay, who you go to because you have a pain on your left side of your abdomen, and the doctor does all kinds of tests, and do you really want to hear from the doctor you have pancreatic cancer?
Oh, heck no.
You know, the movie, a great film called A Good Year, I don't know if you saw that, with Albert Finney. And Albert Finney says, you know something? He says, I was listening to my doctor until all of a sudden my doctor started talking about the weather, and then I knew I was terminal.
You know, that's about
it. That's when it got bad.
That's exactly. That's when I knew that I was in real trouble, because he wasn't telling me the truth anymore. People don't want to hear the truth. It's like Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this information is not secret. It's been out there for a long time. You've been talking about this for a long time. There's a ton written about it. I think now you're looking at worldwide the result of having all these people, and yet we still have people who think, oh, you know what? These guys, they're just looking for a better life. It's just a coincidence that all the refugees that, you know, the vast majority are 20-year-old, men
and
that are totally able to work.
And if the German Jews had taken Mein Kampf seriously after Hitler wrote it in 1927, and do you know what the second most widely read book in the Middle East is?
Mein Kampf?
The Quran's the first. Mein Kampf.
Oh, jeez.
You asked me earlier about the Germans and the Nazis. The Arabs, the Muslims have always been on the side of the Germans in the Franco-Prussian War, 1870, 1914, and especially during World War II. Because if you go and you Google Haji Amin al-Husseini, who was the uncle, by the way, of Yasser Arafat, in 1941, al-Husseini, who was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, met with Hitler in Berlin. There's a bunch of pictures on Google under images of al-Husseini and Hitler, very well-known piece of history. And Husseini, at that point in Hitler in Berlin in 1941, said, when you're done exterminating the Jews in Europe, would you please send your FS to the Middle East so we can finish the job? To show his good faith, al-Husseini recruited two regiments of Bosnian Muslims and gave them to the Waffen-SS to exterminate Jews in Czechoslovakia and Romania. And you, all the pictures are there. They're all there. This is history. And this has been going on for over 100 years. The Armenian genocide. If you talk about the Armenian genocide in Turkey today, you will go to prison. Because Erdogan has issued a law that says anybody that tries to relate the Ottoman Turks with the slaughter from 1896 to 1916 in Armenia of over a million Armenian Christians, we don't want that as part of our Turkish history. And again, Obama, he didn't support the Green Movement in Iran in 2009, and he didn't support the attempted overthrow 2 weeks ago of Erdogan in Turkey, and I'm telling you, we are going to pay dearly for that.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. And he came right out during the coup.
And said people should stand with their president.
Yeah, yeah.
The democratically elected president. Imagine in 1932, Roosevelt coming out and saying, no, Germans, you should stand with Hitler. He is the elected president, and you guys elected him, and it was elected a democratic election. Imagine 1941, December 8th, 1941, if FDR, in giving his famous We Have Nothing to Fear But Fear Ourself speech, had come out and said, you know, the Japanese people are really lovely people, and the majority of the Japanese military don't mean any harm to anybody, but the military has been hijacked by radicals like Tojo and Hirohito. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. Administration has just brainwashed people into believing these lies. And maybe they don't believe them, but they make it's okay. It's okay that they're lying.
Moreover than that, they've done an excellent job at silencing the opposition. And that,
in
I think,
Arabic,
is,
yeah. in
is
Arabic,
more
that's
than
called taqiyya.
The silencing the opposition part?
Yeah, taqiyya. It's religious deception. You'll find it in the Quran and the Hadith.
Oh. There's a plan.
Maybe that's why Obama's so good at it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We need to take one really quick break, and then we're going to come back and finish out the top of the hour with Peter Friedman. And we've requested an interview with Dr. Gorka, by the way, while we were chatting here. So we'll see if that
awesome.
Comes around, because that would be fantastic. Be right back.
Tell him hello from me.
Will do.
Towers fail. We had neighbors still inside, going through living hell. And we vowed to get the ones behind Bin Laden. Have you forgotten?
Well, apparently we have, because we have bunches of them in the White House now. So, Peter, where do you think we're headed with all this, besides someplace bad?
Well, I'll tell you. We could do another 2 hours. Please email me your address so I can send you a copy of my book.
Doing it.
Because the majority of everything that we have discussed during this program is really contained in there, and will answer all these questions. There's 36 chapters in it. There's 220 pages, and the majority of those chapters are responses to questions that people have asked me after hearing a presentation.
Now, give us the name of the book and where we can get it.
Oh, you can get it right on my website, IslamThreat.com. Just click on the icon on the top. There's four items right on the top, and it's the right one that says a collection of articles, 36 articles.
Nice. All right. We will I'll post that a little bit more prominently.
You know, it's $15 bucks, postpaid. anywhere in the country.
Nice. So what do you think? Is Europe, can Europe ever get out from under this?
No.
I don't think
no.
so either. I think they're kind of doomed.
No. No, they're too dug in. The British, to their credit, thank God they live on an island, to their credit, you know, they got out of the European Union, which means that people with forged passports can't come into Britain.
Unfortunately, they've had their gates open for a long time, and to clean it up now is going
to be... Mosque. I spent a lot of time in the last 40 years over there, and I got to tell you, you don't go anywhere in North London, anywhere near the Finsbury Mosque. That's where that crazy Imam Anjem Choudhury that periodically Sean Hannity has on his program, preaches from. And then you have, if you remember 4 or 5 years ago, you had Lee Rigby, who was the military drummer. And the guy was walking home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In South London, and the two North African guys came up and slaughtered the guy, and the guy held up the bloody machete right in London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right on film, yeah.
If you go to Harrods today, all you see is hijabs.
Well, they have let Sharia law control that section
yes.
of London, and I mean, they've got a battle on their hands.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me take it a step further, because in the United States now, there have been 52 litigations in 26 states in the United States of America that have been arbitrated using Sharia.
Wow.
And then you get that moron Ginsburg on the Supreme Court, who in fact told Iraq, please don't base your constitution on our constitution here in America because it doesn't protect human rights. And yes. This is craziness.
She's
this
gone,
is nuts.
She's gone around the bend.
The main reason we've got to elect Donald Trump is for the Supreme Court. Otherwise, we're screwed.
Yeah.
That's it. The game is over because Hillary will put more crazy people like Kagan and Sotomayor on there, and we're in trouble. Do you know Elena Kagan wrote her senior thesis on the benefits of socialism in New York? I'll send it to you. You can pull it up on the internet.
The benefits of socialism in New York?
Yes.
What was it, a half page?
Yeah, it was three sentences.
You know, it's like Margaret Thatcher once said that, socialism is wonderful until the government runs out of other people's money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is free college for everybody? Seriously?
Yeah. And you know, what's sad is the younger demographic is buying into all this, and we've got to shut this stuff down.
Well, the public school system.
Yeah, yeah, Peter, we need to have you back. We need to have you back again.
Check your calendar. What are you doing? What are you doing next Sunday?
I'll be with you if you want me to.
We should just continue the dialogue if you're up for it.
So, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Let me know. I'll be very happy to. Send me an email.
All right, doing it.
Yeah, we're out of time, but boy, we need to do it.
So for all those people out there that are thinking, geez, I wish my friend or my family heard this, hey, we'll do it again next week. New stuff.
Send me your address. I will FedEx the book to you so you'll have it there for next week.
Perfect.
Super.
Our guest, Peter Friedman, can't ask for more.
Thank you very much, Peter.
A pleasure.
Check his website, IslamThreat.com, and all of it is on ours, of course, along with a commercial-free archive here shortly. And that is at WeThePeopleRadio.us. See you next week.